Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Hallelujah. So whenever it gives you that song, don't say, I don't know the key to sing. God is not waiting for your key. Hallelujah. God is not waiting for what? He's not waiting for the key. And maybe you understand key C, key G, whatever key it is. God just wants to hear your voice. So you must come to worship with that sense that God, there's a God who wants to hear my voice. Hallelujah. All right. Moving further. I had a little struggle what to teach or what to preach this morning. But finally, I settled for one. Amen. So I want to teach the title, if you like, Basic Conditions for Answered Prayers. Basic, meaning simple. Basic conditions for answered prayer. And this is to prepare our hearts as a church, as a commission, as we wait on the Lord in the month of July, the month of prayer, and it has been tagged revival. Habakkuk, I believe, chapter 3 and verse 2. So this just take this as we prepare for our month of prayer. Please, can you just hold on for a bit? I'm trying to still find. Hallelujah. So I started by saying God is willing. There's a willingness of God to hear your voice. God wants to hear our voices. Hallelujah. He wants to hear when we pray. He wants to hear when we sing. He wants to hear us talk. So it's the delight of the Father that he wants to hear. There's no Father, you know, something happened on Friday. Let me use this scenario. I was in my son's school for Father's Day. And he didn't know that I was coming. Of course, even if I told him, I'm not sure he would be able to retain that message till he gets to school. So, you know, different events took place, citations, different things. And so when it was the turn of his class, the preschool, to present, preschool one, preschool two, he's in preschool one. So, the ones in preschool two are the ones aged, I think, three and above. Hallelujah. So, you know, one of the class teachers or aunt was holding him and one other one, girl at the back, while the ones that were vocal and audible were in front and singing and all of that. And so most fathers brought out their phones and they started recording, you know, and all of that. I was also recording. But the moment I saw him, as a father, I was excited. Like, yes, every other child had come, cited or did one thing or the other and all of that. But for just seeing him on the stage was my joy. But I couldn't hold it. I stood up and I went to the back so that I wouldn't be obstructing anybody. I wanted him to see me like, hey, Baba, I want to be your father day here. And you know something interesting? The moment, because the people lying in front of him were covering him, the moment he sighted me, I said, yes! The moment he sighted me, even me myself, I was excited like, So, till the end of that, whatever they were doing, it was just, the way they were moving, it was moving like, let me be seeing my father, let me, hallelujah. And that is God's perspective. God is delighted in hearing and seeing your face. It's so, I mean, like, I couldn't hold it. When I got home, I put up my phone. I told the mom. I said, but you know, forget about all of this one. When the boy saw me, he screamed. Hallelujah. So there are basic things. You need to understand that God wants to hear you. God is delighted when we come to Him. As a matter of fact, God doesn't want you to go to another God. God is that jealous that He wants you to come to Him first. Abby, just imagine as a parent and your son needs something. I'm starting with need. And he's always going to your neighbor's house. He's always going to your neighbor's house. Meanwhile, you as a parent, you are at home. Not that you are not at home. You are at home. But the boy is always, or the child is always going to your neighbor's house. You know, there's a way that, even if you don't say it, your neighbor begins to see like, it's like this father is irresponsible. But God is not irresponsible. He says, "Oh, my dove that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. Your voice is sweet, and your countenance is comely." Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. It says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." Who is the upright? Who is the upright? Okay, let me remove the word upright. Who is the righteous? Who is the righteous? The Lord delight. It says, "The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination, but the prayer of the upright is His delight." God finds your prayer delightsome. If there's anything like that, God enjoys it when you speak to Him. So we'll be looking at seven. I said seven basic requirements for answered prayers. And number one is that your prayer must be in the name of Jesus. There's no any other name that has been given to man by which you must be saved. Save the name of who? Save the name of who? Save the name of Jesus. So number one requirement or number one condition is that your prayer must be in the name of Jesus. John chapter 14 and verse 13. We'll be reading quite a number of scriptures this morning. John chapter 14 and verse 13. It says, "And whatsoever you shall ask," can I hear us echo it together? "And whatsoever you shall ask," "whatsoever you shall ask, in my name, that I will do." So God is committed to doing what you ask in His name. It says that my Father may be glorified. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. Permit me to read all of these scriptures, then I'll. Romans 8, 32 says, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up." Delivered him up for how many people? For how many people? Us all. "How shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Freely. But you see, my emphasis is not in the freely. The emphasis is, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. "But my God shall supply all your needs." How? "According to his riches in what?" What God spends is glory. God doesn't spend money. What God spends is glory. He says, "But my God shall supply all your needs." He didn't say according to his riches in dollars or pounds or gold. He said according to his riches in glory. How does God accomplish this? He said, how does God accomplish this? By Christ Jesus. By Christ Jesus. So whatever a believer is looking for is in Christ. I said whatever you are looking for is in Christ. I want you to declare whatever I'm looking for is in Christ. You don't need to go to Ile Babalawo or one charm, enchanter or divination, sorcerer. Whatever he says, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So, to pray in the name of Jesus is to remember the entire life of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when I said, whatever he says, whatever you shall ask God in my name, that will I do, right? So, this is what it means. It means to pray in the name of Jesus is to remember the entire life of Jesus. The entire life of Jesus, we are talking about his birth. We are talking about his what? His death. We are talking about his resurrection. It's the complete work or the complete life of Christ. We can't just talk about the death of Jesus without talking about the birth of Jesus. So, he says, to pray in the name of Jesus is to remember the entire life of Jesus. That's number one. To pray in the name of Jesus is to bring all the truth of Jesus' life and ministry to bear on the issue you are bringing to God in prayer. Hallelujah. Is to bring to bear whatever issue you are bringing to God in prayer, everything about the life and the ministry of Christ. And can you permit me to say this? That he says that whatever you shall ask God the Father in my name, that will I do, does not mean that God is a rubber, or that name is a rubber stamp. Hallelujah. You know, it is believed that this is in 9th assembly. Have you heard it? No, the one that just concluded. The 9th assembly was a... I didn't say it to you, said it to me. Baba said something. Baba said, bam. All in support or favor, say, those who are against, say, nay, the highest have it. No, that is not the way it works for Jesus or praying through the name of Jesus. If you come now, you say, for instance, you are praying to God, God, Pastor David said, whatever I ask you in my name, that will I do. I want Pastor David's wife. Ah. Hey. Lazoa. Ah. Don't tempt the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. It's not just a rubber stamp. Even that, yes, Jesus said the name of Jesus gives us everything. But you see, even God is regulated by his will. God will not give you anything that is outside his will. So, for instance, if my son comes now and says, give me a car. Yes, it is in my will to give him a car, but not now. So, if my son goes to pray and say, my daddy said, if I come to you, you will give me a car. Give me a car and all of that, it will not happen now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody getting blessed? Is somebody getting blessed? That we say in the name of Jesus does not mean, it says, give me Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4. Psalms 37 and verse 4. It says, delight yourself, is that the scripture? Psalms 37 verse 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thy heart. If you read this scripture the way it is like this, you know it corroborates the other one we read in John. Huh? But if you dig deeper, you will realize that the more you stay with God, his desires becomes your desire. So when you ask for whatever you are asking for, you are actually asking for the desire of the Father. You know, a lot of times we just come to pray and say, scripture says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of the heart. Is that the desire of the Father has become your desire? It is not that you're lost or vague or something that you are asking for. It is that you are saying, God, let thy kingdom come. You are asking something that is in alignment with the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So, praying in the name of Jesus does not mean we get our way. praying in the name of Jesus means we get Jesus' way. Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Praying in the name of Jesus does not mean that it's a rubber stamp. It means that you get God's own way, God's own will, God's own desires. Hallelujah. In that same name, the devils were made powerless. I'm giving us examples of using the name now. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. I'm going to Russia this morning, so just follow me. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. Luke 10, 17 says, and the 70 returned again with joy. Can we, do you have them on the screen? Do you have it on the screen? Can we read together? Saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us. Who were they giving this report to? Who were they giving this report to? Jesus. But you see, the intriguing thing for me here is this word again. It was not just something that, you know, before you can establish anything in science, you have to do in several occurrences, you have to repeat that same thing. So it means that this word again means that it was something that had become obtainable in their life, that whenever they go, in the name of Jesus, be healed, the person becomes healed. He says, and the 70 returned again with joy. And they said, saying, Lord, even the devils, the word devils here, he's talking about, he said, even demons are subject unto us through thy name. Hallelujah. Let me move. I have 7 points on just this name of Jesus, but let me move. Number two condition is that you must come to him with praise and thanksgiving. You see, that thing is so popularized that we have lost the heart of what praise and thanksgiving means. Hallelujah. You know, it's a cliche in most Christian gatherings now. Before we do anything, we say, let's start by prayer. And the person leading prayer will say, let's start by thanking God. It looks like the default thing to do. Hallelujah. Yes, it's the default thing or the first thing to do, but we have lost the essence, the true essence and the meaning of that thing called thanks and praise. In fact, a lot of times we are just doing that to just fulfill all righteousness. Just to pass time so that I can settle here before I can now begin to do my normal activities or whatever agenda I have. We just shabbily, without engaging, we just, Father, we thank you. And our mind is still, in fact, a lot of times, you watch, when prayer of thanksgiving is being led, people are pressing phones. And the moment we now say, my father, you see people draw phone. Like, prayer started. Oh, this is the original undiluted. This is the junction. That bus stop we mentioned, that is the bus stop where we are now. Hallelujah. So we must come to God in thanksgiving. He says, enter into his gates. His gate with thanksgiving and into his court with praise. So it means that before you embark on anything, he didn't just use singular, he said gates. If you look at the word court, he didn't say singular, he said court. So he says, enter into his gate with thanksgiving, meaning that before you do anything, you start by giving thanks. Let it become part of your life that you are not just doing it to pass time, to just shabbily. You are engaging and you are saying, Father, I call to remembrance your faithfulness. It must become our culture as a people that you must bring to remembrance the faithfulness of God. Can I say it in another way? is that you are testifying and you are the only, you and God alone, you are just testifying to God and you are telling God, God, you know you really showed up for me today and I'm grateful. My slides were not ready, but when I mounted the podium and I began to, you helped me. Even things I did not plan to or prepare to things to say, you helped me, you gave me the wisdom and all of that. You engage as somebody who is thankful. There is an attitude to thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 18. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 18. Quickly. It says, violence shall no more be heard in your land. Somebody say amen. Amen. Violence shall no more be heard in your land. Wasting not destructions within your borders. But you shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Hallelujah. Can you see that? Can you see it on the screen? Violence shall no more be heard in your land, in your house, in your family. Wasting not destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and your gate praise. And you see this in the life of Jesus. Jesus said, Father, I thank you. I know that you always hear me. Answered prayers. Do you know what it means to pray and God answers? And you just shove it to one side like God never did anything, like God never parted the sea, and you are, hey God, I'm asking for again. Like, who does that? Hallelujah. Thanking God in everything will get you through anything. Thanking God in everything will get you through anything. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Give me Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6. Philippians 4, 6. It says through prayer. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4. It says be careful for nothing. How many things? Be responsive, church. How many things? He says, but in everything. In how many things? By and with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. So even the factor, the element of thanksgiving was not substituted, was not left out of this equation. Hallelujah. You must decide within you from today that, hey, you see, the praise of our God will not leave my lips. We must become people of praise. That without the drums, without the keyboard, without the tambourine, without everything, you alone, you can begin to thank God in your sitting room and you are doing rababa and you are thanking God and you are calling to remembrance every good thing that the Lord has done for you. Hallelujah. So before you ask God for what you want, first thank God for what you have. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving shows how matured you are. Huh? Huh? It does what? It shows how matured you are. If I give my son, we give him something, we'll tell him, say, thank you. But because he's immature, he doesn't say thank you all the time. Hallelujah. But maybe like Joel, give him something, you hear, let me, Joel is even too far. Where is Adeolu? You hear thank you. He's showing maturity. He's showing what? Maturity. So one of the signs of spiritual maturity is actually that you go back to give God thanks. Huh? One of the signs of spiritual maturity is that we are people of, we are not quick to say, God, we have forgotten what you have done, and can we move to the other business of the day? No. Father, thank you. Number two thing, thanksgiving shows if you truly believe in the ability of God. It shows if you really believe in the ability of God. Hallelujah. Let me not overflow that. Number, what are we on now? Number three. Number three condition. Number three requirements. for answered prayers without condemnation. Without condemnation. You must come to God boldly. Eh? You must what? Come to God boldly. Psalm 66 and verse 18. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. But he started by saying something. He said, if I regard can you give me other suggestions of other words for regard? Abhor. I consider. I need more. Eh? Acknowledge or honor. If I value sin, if my value system is in sin, I enjoy sin, I drink it, I sip it, I do everything with it. If I do that, God will not hear me. I don't know if the word is mutually exclusive. Is that the word? For things that don't go together. You cannot be in sin and say, God, he said, no, he said, but verily. He said, but verily, God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer. Can you see the psalmist, David here? He said, blessed. Blessed be God who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Three things there. I would that men will pray everywhere. Lifting up holy hands is one. Without wrath, meaning you do not harbor anger. There's no blemish. There's nothing. Hatred is not in you. And without doubting, meaning you are not approaching God with disbelief. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. Whosoever will come to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Hallelujah. So you are coming without condemnation. You are not saying, Baba, just forget that one now. Let's just move on to the... You are treating your sin like it's not really a big deal. Somebody sent his son. Somebody sent his son. And not just his son. Only Omokonsoso, one and only. And here you are saying, Father, we don't need to talk about that issue. Let's just put it aside. Let's just, you know, we are progressive. Let's just move on to the next agenda. That's the way we approach God a lot of times. So he says, come boldly. He says, I would that therefore that men everywhere will pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It means that there will be times of need. Hallelujah. There will be what? There will be times of need. Temptation is not a sin. Somebody is not hearing me. Eh? That you are tempted is not a sin. It's your response to the temptation that determines if it is sin or not. Jesus was tempted. Right? But what was his response? Hallelujah. So temptation, it says that we may find grace in time of need, meaning that there will be times that you'll be tempted, that your appetites will tempt you. And when I say appetite, I'm not just talking about what goes through the mouth. Every form of appetite that you have, you will be tempted with lusts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll be tempted with all forms. You'll be tempted with gossip. You'll be tempted with hatred. Somebody will come and tell you, have you seen that sister? At the moment you say yes like this, you are in the company. Hallelujah. So let us come boldly. Number three requirement is that you must approach God boldly, with boldness. Boldness here talks about confidence. You know, I talked about the ability of God, your belief in the ability of God to do what he said he will do. Boldly here talks about confidence. Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 19, he says, let us therefore enter into the holies with boldness through the blood of Christ. Through the blood of Christ. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of all by the blood of Jesus. Number four thing, you must have the right motive for your prayers to be answered. The right motive. James chapter 4 and verse 2 and 3. James chapter 4. A lot of times why our prayers are not answered, we'll see in this scripture. We'll see why. Can we read together? One to go. And have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet have not, because you ask not. Verse 3. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Whatever you ask God for, and has you have not factored in the glory of God in it, will not be attended to. Hallelujah. I'm backtracking to a scripture I read earlier. John chapter 14 and verse 13 of 6 says that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If what you are asking God for is so that you can oppress your neighbor, you will stay long at that bus stop. And you see this thing about oppression, most times it's not really verbal. It's not verbal. Like you are silently just killing the person. Let them, like, they go, no. Now we they run this show. Now we they run this town. I'm not, you know, all of these things I'm saying now, they are verbal, Rabbi. But you just know that, let this thing happen. But Adams will know that we too have arrived. Our God is faithful. But in your heart of heart, in my heart of heart, I know that it's not really the, I'm not really concerned about the faithfulness of God. Is that I just want that sense of arrival. And so we are praying, and they ask you, Pastor, may I ask you, like, how far? Pastor, me, I'm still praying, you know. I'm still praying, you know. So the motive has to be the glory of God. Yeah. In fact, the reason why many of us don't walk in that realm of power yet is because we want to share with God 50-50 or 40-60. Like, there's a sharing, God, there has to be a sharing formula. I can't be doing these kind of things yet, and I won't have anything to my own credit. Baba, need to reconsider this, you know. God is jealous.
Have you read that scripture that says our God is a jealous God? Our God is a jealous God. So if we want to walk in that realm, you want to receive answers to prayer, we need to check our hearts.
What is our motive? What is our motive? Am I really asking God because there's truly a need for the advancement of his kingdom, or I'm just asking to just have that sense of arrival? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you echo 1 to 4 to me back? If you have been taking notes, can you echo 1 to 4 back to me? Number 1. Number 2. So let's do it gently so that somebody needs to update his note. Number 1. Okay. Number 2. Number 3. I didn't hear that. Without condemnation, boldly. Right. Number 4. And what is the right motive? God's glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number 4 or number 5 now, right?
Yes, sir.
According to God's word. According to God's word. 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 23. 1 Chronicles 17 and verse 23. Shabalaba yagada balaba raba yagada balaba yagada balagada. Therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house be established forever. Do as thou hast said. And I want us to pause in this place, very instructive. What are the prophecies or what are the things the Lord has told you? I want you to just pray shortly. Things the Lord has, he said, thou hast spoken, things spoken through prophetic word, through Pastor Benga. You have read in scriptures concerning your servant, that is you. And not just about you, but concerning your household. Be established forever. Let it be established this morning, Father. Every prophetic word, let them be established. 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 Everything you have said concerning us as a church, let them be established. Let them be established. Everything you have said concerning us as a people, let them be established forever. Father, do as thou hast said. Do as thou hast said. Do as thou hast said. Mangrebila kofenin makrahu fehile bregedia. Mangrebeledo shaprahunde libregeni mangrediska. Le prefefu finande veleku prehinga dasha. Grakata imagratosi kremende lede bregedia. Mangrebele de bregedia. Mangro puski hivina. Legre de gabus yanga lede bregedia. Be unto us according to thy word. Let it be unto us according to thy word. Let it be unto us according to thy word. Let it be unto us according to thy word. Mari mon pikifinano. Membrufu fenanga burianda veledia. In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Can I hear a sounding amen?
Amen.
One of the safest ways to pray is praying the word of God. Hallelujah.
is praying the word of God, that you open scriptures or prophetic words that have been spoken to you, you engage with that prophetic word, you run with that prophetic word. And you see, one of the culture, one of the habits I want us to imbibe, if we are not doing so, is to write prophecies. One of the things it does is that when God answers that prophecy, you will know. So that you, and as you know, you can return with gratitude. Number two is that you will not be deviated or be distracted. Devil will come, fire things at you. You will say, this is the word of God I am holding on to. In the court of the Lord, the only thing that they entertain, aside the other exhibits, the first thing they recognize there is, what do they call it? Huh? The document where they say section D, section, subsection, the constitution. It is admissible in the court of law. Whatever you quote from that place, they will, of course, they might now begin to juxtapose and look at different things and all of that. But that is the first document that they entertain. Hallelujah. So even for you as a believer, it is not what your father said first or what your mother did not say. The first place you must find your strength to move, to engage, is from the word of God. Hallelujah. And I'll close with this. Number six now, right? We've done six. We've just done five. Number six is that we must engage. Our prayer must be directed by the Holy Ghost. But I won't emphasize on that. Must be directed by the Holy Ghost. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Let me just read that scripture. Romans 8:14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. Likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for. Have you realized that most times when you go to the place of prayer, gear one is different from gear four? Huh? Like, what am I really praying for? But you see, and that was what I was saying on Friday, that the moment you break that inertia, that resistance, you just start. What you realize is that if you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit, He will take over you. He will now fill your mouth with things you should pray for. Hallelujah. So He says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there is the place of yielding to the Holy Ghost. There is the place of yielding to the Holy Ghost. And you, whenever we pray, you must yield. Or how do I don't know how to put, how best to put it now. Submit yourself to Him. Allow Him to move you whatever direction. There are times you go, you already have scriptures you want to pray with. Eh? And you just realize that God is saying, or you already have prayer points. There's a way God does it. Like, you just see that
He will just take a, I don't know if it's a detour, I'll call it, a detour. Like, what you are, yes, this is actually good, but this is not what you should be doing at this time. Hallelujah. So you cannot be fixed with God. We must become very flexible. That when it's beginning to raise a different thing entirely from what we prepared for, we can also journey along with him in that direct, in that direction. Hallelujah. Okay, let me stop at 6. I've given 6, right? Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. It's still to buttress that word, this one of the one of the word of God. While I was studying, I saw it and the thing sweetened my belly. Verily I say unto you, can we read together? Matthew 18, 18. Matthew 18, 18. Want to go? There's a translation that says agree. Right? Let me look for that translation that says agree. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. That's the seventh point. It's the prayer of agreement. But you see, it's not just about the prayer of agreement. It's the prayer of agreement, not just between Brother Adams and I. Huh? It's a prayer of agreement between the two of us with the Word of God. Hallelujah. And so, it's not just a prayer of agreement because two of us are holding hands together. It is a prayer of agreement between the two of us with the Word of God. And that was given to us the picture this morning. Folakemi was leading worship. The word agree actually is where we have the word symphony. Symphony. She was the lead singer. We had, Brother Dave was singing what, sir? Tenor. Who was in the middle? Sister Peace. You were singing soprano. Sister Shaye was singing alto. But she, Folakemi, was the lead singer. That's the scripture. Symphony. We are singing along. The sound we are both individually producing are different. But it is in harmony. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? In symphony, like in agreement, we are singing. And it says, God is like when you are playing music, different people singing their part. You know the way it's sweetening. It's, you are enjoying it. He says, I will, whatsoever you shall lose on, verse 19. Verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you shall agree on earth touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. Verse 20. Verse 20. For where two or three, God finds pleasure in company. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, that is where God is. You saw how beautiful the worship was this morning? Did you enjoy the worship? Did you enjoy the worship? Just imagine when we come together corporately to pray. It says, you remember Songs of Solomon, verse 2, chapter 2 and verse 14, we started with, it says, for your voice is sweet and your countenance is comely. Can we be on our feet this morning?